Welcome back to the Firefighter Craftsmanship Podcast for episode 51, where we're going to talk about creativity and how you can capitalize on creativity, not in an artistic sense, but in a greater sense of that word, to really push the culture within yourself, push your basic skill set, and to push your organizations and teams forward. Welcome to the Firefighter Craftsmanship Podcast, where we guide you through the psychology of high performance, expand your mindset, and strengthen your resilience. And when we look at really resilient people and really resilient cultures overall, especially organizationally, we can see a ton of creativity within that. And so this ties into a really, really big psychological theory, is what they like to call it in the science of psychology, as theories, not principles, but essentially it's kind of a foundational tenet or foundational principle of a lot of psychological research and a lot of psychological programs. And I've talked about some of this stuff on the past here at the Firefighter Craftsmanship Show, is self-determination theory. And self-determination theory has a bunch of parts to it, but there's three major parts to that. And within self-determination theory, it really kind of connects you to high-performance cultures, connects you to high-performance work, connects you to a lot of feeling fulfilled within your occupation and your life and things like that. And SDT, self-determination theory, is really a foundational part of all of those areas of our life. So within SDT, there are three major parts, and they are competence, relatedness, and autonomy. And so today we're going to kind of talk about the relation between autonomy and creativity. So really, autonomy, or people that have autonomy, or you have cultures that are really foster autonomy, it's giving people a long leash to be able to provide value, to provide input, to feel like their opinion matters, to feel heard organizationally, and to identify areas of opportunities of improvement and to capitalize on those areas as well. And some of our organizations really like to provide a lot of lip service around autonomy. They're not using the word autonomy, but they probably have something hanging on the wall in relation to a mission statement or a guiding principle or a vision statement or something along those lines. And it probably has something in there about supportive cultures, some sort of like going above and beyond service or something that we might see pretty consistently in the emergency services world. However, the systems and the processes that are created, or actually the lived reality, the day-to-day actual things that are happening, are systems that are very constrained, and they are ones where they don't reward autonomy, aka creativity. The reality is, within cultures, within ourselves or organizationally, allowing space to have creativity is pretty scary. And, you know, from a business perspective, not necessarily a government business perspective for first responders, but a business perspective, sometimes creativity or autonomy could actually lose you money. And that's kind of scary, but it also could make you a ton of money. And in the emergency world, we can really have, you know, cultures that foster autonomy or foster creativity. We then target healthy, happy, strong employees, which then in turn, as we've talked about extensively here on the Firefighter Craftsmanship Podcast, helps address some of the issues in relation to recruitment and retention. So if you work for an organization, you run an organization, or you're looking at maybe going to another organization, and you see massive amounts of turnover there, well, that is just a byproduct of some of the problems that are happening within that organization, or potentially an industry as a whole. And so for me as a firefighter, we hear a lot about how in the fire service, we're having a hard time with recruitment and retention, recruitment and retention. And there's a lot of things that can go into that. That could be the work hours. It could be pay. It could certainly be mandatory overtime and the cultures within these organizations on how do we treat each other and what is the day-to-day sort of operations. If we treat our newest employees, our probies, our probationary members like complete garbage, and we have it at Fire Academy that's based around a failure-based system, and it's more so about, well, how can I essentially punish you for failing in a learning environment? Nobody is going to want to come and work for your fire department. It's super simple. I don't know why this is so hard for us to kind of fathom, that the old way of doing things doesn't work anymore. And so if we have an organization where we attack people in what is, should be the biggest learning environment that we have, which is a new academy, new firefighters, new police officers, new EMS providers, and we just hammer them when they mess up on days when they're supposed to be learning stuff, well, that is going to absolutely carry over into their day-to-day working environment. And that is a place that I wouldn't want to be involved in. And we can't be flabbergasted when people are leaving our organizations at an unprecedented rate. It's probably because of what sort of cultures do we actually have and how do we treat each other in the day-to-day essence of the job. Now, this isn't a call that we're saying, hey, we need to coddle everybody. Emergency service is a very, very stressful and hard occupation. And the fact of the matter is it's not for everyone. And that is okay. So I'm not talking about decreasing standards. I'm not talking about, you know, creating a softer cultures and things like that. But what I am doing or talking about is assessing how do we treat each other on a day-to-day environment? Do we allow people to provide ideas regardless of how many days or years or rank that they have on our job or within our organizations? Does somebody's opinion matter whether they're a probationary firefighter? Does it matter as much as if they are the chief of the organization? Or do we fall into what Adam Grant, a very famous psychological researcher and professor, talks about, is the HIPPO concept of the highest paid person's opinion. Does the highest paid person's opinion trump somebody that's lower in the organization, even though the person that is quote unquote lower in an organizational chart, they're the ones actually doing the work. They are the ones with the pulse on the finger of what we need, what we do. And they might be the ones that are also calling for help or saying, hey, here's an opportunity for us to get better. How are those ideas fostered and actually encouraged, even if they're hard for us to hear as leaders of organizations? So let's continue to morph this autonomy principle and use the word creativity. And so creativity is something that all of us possess. And as Chase Jarvis, who's a really famous photographer and now has gone into the business space and has done very, very well for himself, he talks about creativity is not art per se, a painter or a photographer or a pencil artist. That's not what we're talking about with creativity, even though that's labeled that way a lot, where people say, well, I'm not a creative person because I can't draw. Well, let's talk about creativity with the capital C. And all of us are creative. Anytime that you have like a tingling or an urge or a problem-solving thing or something that you're really drawn to, that is a creative calling. And especially when you capitalize on those feelings and then you do something about them, or you produce a problem solve, or you produce a project, or you produce potentially an art thing like a piece of photography, those are all creative endeavors. So yes, even though you might not be able to draw, it doesn't mean that you're not a creative person. So why does creativity matter, and really who cares? Well, if we allow ourselves to be creative and we start to foster environments internally first where we can be creative and you start to get excited about things, and then you follow through on those things, or you at least explore them until you meet whatever dopamine rush that you wanted to get or needed to get out of those things, we start to connect cool neural pathways that say, hey, this is actually an okay emotion or excitement for me to feel. And you start to build confidence within that. And as we know, confidence only comes from one place, and it's you. So an external factor can say, hey, you're really, really good at that. But if you don't actually feel good about that, or you might have some imposter syndrome a little bit around some concepts, and you might be like, oh, no, that's not actually true, until you start to believe it a little bit and say, hey, actually, yes, I have been creative in other scenarios. I will figure this out. I will get through this hard time. I will be successful eventually on this proposal or new product implementation. That's all based in confidence, but it all stems from the big C, creativity. So do some introspective work and say, am I allowing myself to be creative? If not, why not? You know, are you experiencing burnout? Are you just not excited about this phase of your life? Are you in an environment organizationally that maybe doesn't foster creativity? And what are some of the things that you can do to either make that environment better, change that environment, lead from the bottom, or lead from the top to start to create these environments that allow for autonomy and they allow for creativity? So what does this look like? How do we actually accomplish or start to change cultures within ourselves or organizations that fosters creativity? And I think the first thing is really just starting to trust and trusting your intuition specifically. It's probably going to come in a non-career related thing initially. If you feel like, well, I'm just really not a creative person overall, I'm guessing that maybe you're just feeling kind of constrained within your occupation of choice. And so start to look at when you're not at work, what are the things that get you excited, right? What are the things where you really want to go play? Like, is it, I want to go play with my kids. I want to go throw the football or the baseball, or I want to go ride my bike, or, you know, what are those things? I do want to sit down and draw, or I want to read. Like, what are those things that you're really, really kind of drawn to? And then how does creativity play into that? So more than likely, especially if you're out doing physical activities, you are being creative within those domains. So if you're a big mountain biker or a surfer or something like that, you have to be creative every single time that you get on your bike, go on a trail, get in the ocean. There's a lot of creativity within there, and that's what makes those things so much fun to participate in. And the second thing is really giving yourself permission to fail. And really, by giving yourself permission to fail, you need to start by not looking for external validation of what you're doing. So I think a lot of times when we think about, okay, well, I am creative and I really, really can identify opportunities for improvement. And then, I start to bring projects forward and then they don't work out. Well, that's an external validation. So just start to capitalize and celebrate those areas where you do identify, hey, here's a place that I can fit in and maybe make a difference. Or, hey, on an emergency 911 call, here was an opportunity where, you know, it was a little bit outside those nice black and white protocols that we have, or those SOPs or whatever your organization calls them. And this is where I was able to deliver amazing customer service that isn't and can't ever be called out in some sort of procedure or protocol environment. So start to give yourself permission to fail, meaning, hey, I really tried to implement a new hose and nozzle study at our fire department and it just kind of fell on deaf ears. But that was a creative endeavor where I said, hey, this is something that I think that we need. Here's what's happening across the country. Here's some science around it. Here's how much that thing's going to cost. Those are all creative endeavors. Even though the end result might not have been what you wanted, it's still okay to celebrate that and not always look for external validation to make that creativity actually solidify and to give yourself confidence around those sorts of things. So we have to be our biggest fans first, because we are absolutely, every single one of us are absolutely our biggest critics. Nobody can ever be as hard on you as you are on yourself. So the inverse of that is you should also really celebrate in a humble way, right? But really celebrate those wins that you've done along the way, especially in relation to being creative and identifying opportunities for things that make you excited and or that progress the culture of yourself and those around you from the outset. And the third thing really is start to celebrate those opportunities where you've been creative. And so how do we celebrate those from an internal perspective? Well, you start to look at the good that actually came from it. And Jeremy Sanders just talked about this of, I might be in a really, really tough situation. And that show is linked here in the podcast for sure. Podcast notes. I might be in this terrible situation, but why am I here? And what is maybe just one thing that I can learn from this? How can I grow from this? And really, when we take that growth mindset sort of mentality that Jeremy talked about, that is a celebration. And that is a celebration of, well, today might be really, 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 really bad. But what can I learn from this? and then start to capitalize and one step at a time. You're not trying to solve the whole problem all at once. You're just trying to put one foot in front of the other sometimes. And all of that is based in a celebration or a growth mindset. So once we apply these three concepts of trust, giving yourself permission, and starting to celebrate opportunities where you have been creative, then you can start to capitalize on the lessons and slowly grow the culture inside of you, and then start to leech that positive culture of creativity and autonomy to those around you. And that has nothing to do with rank or an organizational chart. How are we celebrating? Like, hey man, I saw how you identified with that patient right there, and then you were able to connect with them on a human level to convince them to go to the hospital. That sometimes, as we all know for us in 911 system, sometimes you definitely have to be a salesperson and sell people like, I understand you don't want to go to the hospital. But in my experience, these are the reasons that you need to. And you got to take care of yourself first. That is a creative endeavor when we're trying to sell somebody for the right reasons to go and get higher level of care than we can provide within the 911 system. And as an officer on an engine company, if I say, hey, to the new kid, right, the probie, say, hey, I really appreciate how you were able to kind of problem solve. And because of these things that I saw, I'm giving them external validation, but it's also helping them build that internal confidence and say, hey, that is also what we expect on our crew or within our team or within our organization. These are the things where I saw it. I see you. We validate it. We give them some positive affirmation. And then we say, I want to see more of that. And at times, yes, people will get outside the ditch banks and they might have an idea that is just flat out not a great one. And at that point, then we say, hey, I love that you identified this. However, maybe you're way out of bounds, or we do not have the money and won't ever have the money of that, or that is a fish that we don't need to fry right now. Or we've tried it in the past and these are the reasons that it didn't work. And maybe we should reopen that idea box, or maybe it is definitely completely dead. And so let's channel that excitement and that energy. And how do we morph that and make it into a thing that we can actually be successful? Because nobody wants to just be creative and try to solve all these problems and never get any external validation or never get any wins. Like, that's exhausting. In our organizations, do we talk about, hey, yes, we like to have creativity. We give people autonomy. We want people to bring ideas forward. And then it's only a top-down decision-making model. Those opinions aren't even accounted for. Or what you do speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. And you never actually change our organizational culture or our decision-making process. Then people aren't going to be creative. Like, what's the point? They're probably going to actually leave your organization. Or you're going to have a really, really hard time with morale, recruitment, and retention. This is all very, very interconnected. And this is all based in that self-determination theory of competence. Are we really, really good at our basic skills? Are we competent at our job? Do we have relatedness? What kind of teams are we a part of? Do I feel connected to you on a human level? And autonomy. Do I have some ability to kind of control my own fate, control my own destiny, provide ideas and solutions and organizational change, and have those things capitalized upon? So the point is, regardless of where you are in the rank structure, you can absolutely foster a creative environment because it has to start with you first. So challenge your kind of norms, challenge that fixed mindset mentality of like, well, I don't want to be the worst, or I don't want to fail, or I don't want to look stupid in front of my peers, and start to really attack those sorts of feelings and start to be creative and identify where can you be creative, how are you creative on a day-to-day basis, and celebrate those things. So thanks for spending some time with us on this quick hitter episode of the Firefighter Craftsmanship Podcast. We're excited to spend a lot of quality time with you, and we do not take that for granted. Please rate, review, and share the show for those that need it. You can hit us up on all of our social media or website platforms. We're on Instagram, Facebook, or you can hit me up on LinkedIn at Kevin Housley. we're doing some pretty fun stuff in relation to high performance psychology classes that we're teaching both virtually and in person. So if you want to explore some of those options, shoot me a message on one of the platforms or hit us up at firefightercraftsmanship.com and stay smart.